Welcome to Active Word with Bishop Ishmael Sam of the Loyalty House International, a denomination originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, UDOLGC. Called of God, he ministers under the anointing of his father, Bishop Doug Heward Mills. Bishop Sam is the resident bishop of the Loyalty House International, Abbe Dowenya, off the Dowenya Afenya Link Road. He oversees many churches, both in Ghana and abroad. May the power of God be activated in your life today as you listen to Active Word.
Amen. Am I on? Wonderful. Are you happy to be in church this evening? I'm also happy to be in church this evening. And I believe that we are going to be blessed this evening at the Conquerors service. Powerful service. Call your friend and tell him that service, tell him or her. That service has already started, so they should join the service and be blessed. Those of you listening on radio, you are welcome, and all of you are welcome to church this evening. And I believe that we are going to be blessed. Amen. We have been preaching on faith for our Conquerors service since we started this, if you like, social distancing. We have been preaching about faith, and for the last 2 or 3 weeks, we have been listening to our prophet, the bishop, lift our faith high. You know, I believe many of us have been blessed, and we're blessed by the message we listen to. Faith will make you do so many things. Many of you just remember that faith will make you young. Some also remember that faith will make you cross your mountains and your rivers. But faith will make you do so many things. And that was a very powerful session we had with the prophet. Today we are continuing with faith. We are continuing with faith. And I have titled today's message on faith. I've titled it "The End of Our Faith" or "The End of Your Faith." The End of Our Faith, or the end of your faith, which means that one day, faith will come to an end. One day, faith will come to an end. Hallelujah. We need faith for Christian living whilst we are here on earth. We need faith for Christian living. The Bible said that the just shall live by faith. So as long as we are living here on earth, we will need faith to live. Hallelujah. And what you need to know is that faith is not going to be needed after we die. In heaven, we are not going to need to believe God to marry. We are not going to need to believe God to buy a car. We are not going to need to believe God to have money. There's not going to be any virus or pandemic for us to be using faith not to be infected by the virus. We are not going to need faith to believe God so that after COVID-19, whether we lose our job or we not lose our job. Because we need faith to maintain our jobs. Today I had a very powerful news and a testimony. The brother said that in his company that he was in, they have called from the headquarters. They said you should lay off so many people. Then they mentioned his name specifically. This one shouldn't go. He should stay. And I said, wow. He sent the testimony. I said, wow. He said, this one shouldn't go. He should stay. Your name will be mentioned that you will stay. You will not go in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is what we need faith here on earth to overcome, to live. So it's for general Christian living. We need faith to, 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 to overcome so many things. Hallelujah. We will not need faith after death, as I said. Amen. And then faith is also belief for the unseen to be done, isn't it? Because Hebrews 11:1 tells us. So faith is to believe that the unseen, believe in the unseen, that the unseen will practically become a reality in our lives, isn't it? Because faith is like you don't see certain things. You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So your faith is what makes you are hoping, you are dreaming. Then your faith makes you see it afar off and then turn it to become a reality practically in your life. That is faith. Hallelujah. So faith makes the unseen become a reality, which is very, very important. Amen. But you see, when we talk of unseen things, one of the major unseen things that will become a reality one day, which we don't often emphasize when we talk about faith, is the faith to believe in the fact that man is a spirit. You see, that is faith, to believe that man is a spirit. Because you realize that if you don't have that faith, you will not be able to do certain things. Because your faith wants something to become a reality. So you confess it, you live it, and you do so many things. So it's unseen becoming a reality. Now there's some unseen. There is some unseen. And that unseen is the life after death. And that also must become a reality one day. And so your faith must also be used to believe in things like that. You know, Jesus mentioned this, and we'll talk about it later, but Jesus mentioned this for us to, you see, he made us to picture it. He made us to dream about it. He made us to visualize it, just as you visualize marriage and you want to, one day it become a reality. You see somebody's Benz and you visualize it, and one day you want to become a reality. Abraham was brought outside to look at the stars and said, this is how your children will be. And one day became a reality. Jesus also brought the story of rich man and Lazarus for us to see in our spirit, so that our faith will rise, that one day that also will become a reality. Hallelujah. So that is why I believe that the greatest faith is to practically believe till your soul is secured in death. Hallelujah. That's the greatest faith. The end of everything, you see it from the Bible. The end of all your faith is to believe till your soul is secured. And that is also by faith. Because we don't see our soul. We don't see our spirit. We only see our flesh. So you need faith to believe in the spirit, that the spirit is there. And you need faith to believe that the spirit will live on after life, so that you'll be saved and you see practically, and depending on where you live, practically it will happen. That means that practically the story of rich man and Lazarus will happen. Practically. Do you get it? So your faith is what will make you even make a right decision. Amen. When you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, you will see that faith has an end. There's a time, there's a period that you don't need faith again. It's like money. It's like money. You know, if you read about the story of the Israelites and in Egypt, and when the famine came, and they went to Joseph, they said that we have money. But what can money do to us? Money had become nothing. Do you get it? Money had become nothing. So a time will come, you even have money, but money will not do anything. Hallelujah. So there is an end to something. Everything has an end. The time will come, you say you want women. Even you can't do anything with them. Look at David. David, he loved women. He loved women, and David was sick. And you know, David had a way of, you know, he really knew God. So he had a way of going in and out of things. So when he was sick, they even believed that he could be well. Because really, he loved God. The only way they realized that David was not well was when they gave a woman to David, a young lady to David, his choice. And they went in the morning. When they went, David was as he was. They only see like this when they want to see that you are dead, they will look, they will try your pulse. They will see that David, they try their pulse. They say, oh, David's pulse can deceive us. Even though his pulse will be bad, what can make us sure that David's really sick? Not his temperature, not his lab test, not the 80s, this thing. So they went to put a woman right by David. Hey! Then when they went in the morning, David had not moved. Then they said, look, David is really sick. Hey, what a test. David is really sick. So he came to her. He couldn't do it. Nothing else could matter again. Amen. Nothing else could matter again. So when you read 1 Peter 1, 8 to 9, it also talks about the end of faith. And I want to read it from 8. It says, whom having not seen, whom having not seen, you love. You see, and faith is not seeing, but believing. So we have not seen Jesus, but we love him. We love him. In whom though, now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Wow. This is faith. He said, in whom though now you do not see, you do not see him, yet believing, ye rejoice, you rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So faith, that's how faith is. You want to go to the next verse. It says, receiving, everybody say receiving. Receiving the end of your faith. Receiving the end of your faith. So your faith has an end. Just as a good movie. You don't want it to end. But by the time you realize, they say, oh, the film is ending. They say, oh. And that's like a good preaching. By the time he's preaching, say, oh, like you always do to me. Anyway, I'm just joking. You see, so everything will come to an end. And your faith will come to an end, which means that we only need faith here. A time will come, faith will end. And when will faith end? Even the salvation of your souls. Even the salvation of your souls. So you see that faith ends with you delivering your soul. And that is why I said that faith is for Christian living, as long as we live here on earth. But there is greater faith that whilst we live, we don't forget the main thing, that we need faith to secure our souls in heaven. Hallelujah. I almost say heaven or hell. Secure our souls in heaven. Hallelujah. So that we avoid hell. It takes faith to believe. And the story that Jesus said about rich man and Lazarus, many people have read it. Even they read it in school for BK, for everything. And yet, because you don't have faith, you don't believe it. You don't believe it. So you need faith to the ending of your soul. And that is why I believe that we need to talk about the fact that about the spirit of man. You see, it is one of the less taught things in Christianity. And one of the less known things by Christians is the salvation of your souls. And that is why people can stand people can stand and say that even if I don't, you see, because we have made it to look like faith is about believing God for things. Believing God for things. So I'm believing God for a car. I'm believing God for a house. It's good. That is Christian living. Everything is by faith. But you see, there is much more to believe. And therefore, even if you are believing God for a car and the car has not come, because you know that there's something greater than a car. There's something greater than food. There's something greater than marriage. There's something greater than getting a child. Then that faith makes you now tell yourself that I am going for the greater one, which is the salvation of my soul. And you don't know when that salvation will take place. So I'm going for the greater one with the salvation of my soul. So for this few weeks, maybe this week, next week, maybe, I'm going to talk about a very, very important thing. It's a very, very important thing. And you can find also in the powerful book that Ambition has written, the seven great principles. The seven great principles. The second edition, the first edition, which is almost not around. It's not there. And the second edition, seven great principles. You will see that the principle, you see, principles are principles. And when you know principles, principles will do what? Will deliver you. Principles are principles. And when you know principles, they deliver you. What is a principle? A principle is a revelation. A principle is a revelation. It is a deep understanding of how something works. A deep understanding of how something works. A principle is something that allows you to develop in anything. If you know the principles of it, it will allow you to develop in that thing. And once you get that principle right, then you can do, you can finish that thing, you can experience that thing, you can take that thing to a logical conclusion. Hallelujah. You can take that to the logical conclusion. Amen. So it is important, you get it, that we develop principles. Principles always give lays foundation for something that we can build upon, something that we can develop it. Hallelujah. So this principle I'm talking to you about, that it takes faith, it shows faith. You know, when you are talking to anybody, any Christian, and the Christian is talking about heaven, talking about hell, talking about salvation of the soul, to me, that is a more matured Christian than even talking to you about revelations you have got about dreams and visions. That, to me, that is a more matured Christian. Hallelujah. That's someone who has great faith. A Christian will be talking, and maybe you are talking about things that you have got to say, well, I'm believing God for this. Not that I'm not believing God for it, I'm believing God for it. But Charlie, don't forget, oh, there is also heaven. There's also, and you don't get angry. You know, there are some Christians, when you are preaching, you even use death as an example. They say that you are spoiling the meeting. You are bringing sadness into the system. You see, because we don't want to hear about it. Amen. But it's a very, very important thing about our faith that we should know. Amen. Now, let's read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. It says, How shall we? Because, see, we are talking about our salvation, even the salvation of your soul. Faith for that salvation. Say, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If we neglect so great a salvation. So we need to talk to people to think about salvation, to have faith in salvation. Is it that faith in salvation that will even make you see someone else who is not born again? And you want to move because, see, your faith is so much in heaven and hell that there's a loved one who is not born again. There's a friend who is not born again. That faith will make you want the person to be saved. I have faith in salvation. That is why, even though the church is not meeting, I am doing everything for you to still know about God and to sustain your spirit. I am doing because I know that Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. You get, there's more to you than just food that you eat. There's more to you than your job you cannot go. There's more to you than any of these things. What is of utmost importance is your spirit. But because many don't see the spirit, they don't emphasize the spirit. And when they see those who emphasize spiritual things as people who are some way. Yeah, there are some way. They will say, somebody will say, once I was preaching and somebody joined this period, somebody posted on our Facebook comment and he said that he thought I was going to talk about COVID and how people should not contract the disease. And I'm just there repeating Bible. And I was, wow. I mean, I didn't, somebody just mentioned it. I said, wow. I mean, has he not been following the Minister of Health on radio press conferences every day? He has been, what hasn't the president said about this issue? President has said it, opposition has said it, everybody has said it, people have made drama, everything has been made about it. So after that, we shouldn't now talk about the spirit. But I don't begrudge a person because, you see, it is unseen. It's unseen. You need faith to understand. That's actually the definition of faith. You need faith to believe it. So we should not neglect this great salvation. We should not neglect it and really have faith that this salvation is real. And what does it mean? What does it mean? Because there is something about you too that will make salvation real to you. Your salvation real to you. And that is what I'm saying, that it's a principle that you should know. Now let me read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Are you here with me? Those of you listening on radio, watching me on Facebook, be alert and listen carefully and be blessed in Jesus' name. I mean, wherever you are, God is with you. Wherever you are, God is there. So know that God is there and flow properly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. He said, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah, somebody. Unto the coming. That is also the end of your salvation. You know, till Christ will come. Till Christ will come. You don't know when Christ will come. But the day you die, Christ has already come for you. Because that is the end. You're only going there to wait for the resurrection or whatever. Amen. So, but you see, in this verse of scripture, he talks about three distinct things about man. Three distinct things about man. What is the first reality? Man, he said, your whole spirit and soul and body, hallelujah, be preserved blameless. Your whole spirit and soul and body. So he's talking about three things. He talks about spirit, soul, body. And that is what brings us to our first principle in these seven great principles that we are talking about. And the first principle is that man is a spirit. Man is a spirit. Man has a soul. A man lives in a body. Man is a spirit. Man has a soul. A man lives in a body. You see, what you are is not what you have. You get it? What you are is not what you have. Where you live is not what you are. Where you live is not what you are. And what you are is not what you have. So you have a soul. It means the soul is something you have, but it's not you. You have a soul. The soul is something you have, but it's not you. You live in a body. So the body is where you live, but it's not you. You now are the spirit. You now are the spirit. So say, man is a spirit. So look at the person sitting next to you. What do you see? You see the body. Now the body is not the man. Are you getting me? No, the body is his spirit. Sorry, the body is his house. Where he lives. Where he lives. During the lockout, we couldn't go anywhere. Everybody was living in his house. Yeah, so no, your neighbors couldn't see you. And normally, when you live in a place, maybe depending on when you go, your neighbors say your car is reversing. And you leave the house. So you are not the house. When you leave, the house is still there. You are not the house. But during lockdown, we are all in our homes, all of us together. Do you get it? So you are not the house. You live there. So the person you are looking at is the house. Now, as the person look at you, he will smile. As the person look at you, you may do something. The person will frown the face, or the person will be happy. The person can be sad. The person can feel pain. And the person can say that, "I don't like what you are doing. Stop what you are doing. I don't like it. Keep doing it. I don't like what you are doing. Keep doing it." Do you get it? The person will be saying all those things. Now, what is making the person say is his soul. What he has. What makes him, or of course, we are using man in a generic term. What makes him? What makes him? That's why, you see, what even makes you go and particularly get another, a certain kind of lady, and you want to marry the lady, is being directed by the soul. Yeah, your soul is different. Your soul has a way of behaving. All this, your phlegmatism, your melancholism, they are all part of the soul. They are all part of the soul. So the soul also is there, and the soul is distinct from the spirit. You know, sometimes we use the soul and the spirit interchangeably and as if they are the same. But you see in the Bible that the soul is different from the spirit. The soul is different from the spirit. So what it is that your soul may accompany your spirit to hell, or your soul may accompany your spirit to heaven. Yes. But your spirit is the one which is you. But it looks as if the soul, you have it with you forever. You see the soul. It is the soul in the rich man that made him tell the people that my brothers are there. They'll go and talk to them for me. So the soul, if I don't know how to say it, you get it. So the soul is always with you. You go, you see, you leave the house, but your soul is always with you to heaven or to hell. But there are two distinct things. There are two distinct things. It, whilst you are here on earth, often your body is leading and your spirit is struggling. The soul goes to whoever wins. It's like, see, the soul is a little bit phlegmatic. It doesn't say good nor evil. So whoever wins, the soul goes there. Do you get it? Whoever wins. So if you are going to have the soul, there you will come. If you're going to have the soul, will come. So that's what it says, the salvation of your soul. You can see your soul is the one that feels. Your soul is the one that feels things. You feel. The soul is for feeling. The soul is for will. The soul is, that's what it says, the body is in this willing, but the soul is weak. Is that not so? Yeah, the flesh, the spirit is willing. Okay, the spirit is willing. But I've forgotten the saying. About body and soul, but don't worry, I'll get it. If you got it, just tell me from your home. Shout it! Amen. So say that it's all about spirit, it's all about soul, it's all about body. Now you are a spirit. Amen. You are a spirit. And you have a soul. Your soul, as I'm talking to you now, your soul is making you think about your wife. Your soul is making you think about your beloved. Your soul is making you think about, hey, why don't I marry before Jesus comes? Your soul is thinking about all sort of things. As for your body, it will just be feeling hungry. It will just be thinking about, your soul may be feeling, but your body will want to do it. You see, what your soul feels, the body wants to do. Your soul may feel for love. Your body wants to do love, whether you love or you don't love. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? So you see that man is more than you think. And there is more to life. There's more to life. Because during this COVID, I've seen things. I was watching, I think, Al Jazeera or one of these news portals, and I saw in Uruguay or one of the places, Uruguay or Paraguay or one of the guys in Latin America, I saw that people's family members have died. They've kept some in their home for 4 days because the mortuaries were full. And then they have gone to place bodies on the, you know how Ghana we throw refuse on the streets. They have gone to put bodies there. In the coffin, they are there. And the bodies were rotted, they were just decaying. And someone put them in the median of the motorway. And I told myself, wow, these are people who just yesterday were living, who just today believed in themselves. But suddenly, they have been thrown away. And you ask yourself, if this is all that there is to man, if this is all that there is to man, then what is man? And it's not surprising that David asked this question in Psalm 8, that what is man? That you are mindful of him, you think about him like that. What is man? Because I think David also saw all these things. He goes to war, people are killed, scattered in the valley, scattered here, and this. And David will look at this, is this all there is to man? So who is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? Hallelujah. Who is man that you are mindful of him? Amen. So when you look at all this, they say, look, man is nothing. Man is nothing. Look at the man sitting next to you. Man in generic term. That means even the woman is man now. Look at the man sitting next to you. Look at her hair. Look at his hair. Look at his stomach. Look at how he's behaving. Look, one day, this man, he will live. And what you are seeing is not the man. What you are seeing is not the man. The real man is the spirit. So if you know that, you will do everything to save the real man, which is the spirit. Do you get it? You do everything to save the real man, which is the spirit. Because there is more to life than we all think. Hallelujah. There's more to life. I remember some time ago, I was watching a program on television. And this, I'm sure it's a pathologist or something. They will bring a live body, a live dead body. Sorry, I say live dead. A live program of a dead body, cadaver, dead body. And they will be, you know, dissecting the body. And look, live on TV, something anatomy. Then they will break. They will, I think people donate their bodies for that. And I'm sure the man is a wild guy in the field. They will open it. And I really enjoyed that program. I've been trying to see where the program. I don't know whether they don't show it here. You got that. I was looking at it. They will open it. They say she died of, this one was an old lady. She died of this disease. Old lady, and I think she was very old when she died. Maybe she was about 120 or something, because she was very, she had sounds very tiny. And then they will open it, and they will take the heart. Then you try to tell, he was trying to tell us, but he didn't know that not all of us understood what he was saying. You get it? But at least he managed to get our attention. Then you remove the thing. You see how this thing is dark? It's dark because of this, and then you take the heart. Life! Human being! And I was just trying to think. I mean, you were very young, you didn't even remember. I was trying to just remember. I think that this woman, when she was 25, how was she? Hey, this woman, when she was 19, how did she feel? Just like you are feeling now. You are feeling big. You are feeling like, oh, mommy, daddy, wasting my time. When she was 25, how did she feel? When she was 30, how did she feel? When she was 30, moving up and down, buying a car, how did she feel? And then when she was 40, and then when she became 50, how did she feel? Then when she saw her grandchildren, how did she feel? But now, even when she was 80, how did she feel? But now, she was just a dead body being removed on television. I mean, I'm telling you, I saw everything. And because she was very old, her thing has shrunk, something small in between her legs. Something small, I don't know whether there was even a hair. Something small be in between their legs like that. I said, wow! Well, they cut, and put the body down. I said, wow! Now, is that, what is man? Is that all there is to man? You see? So, that is why you have to have faith that God will not create man and leave you like that. No. So that alone should increase your faith. No, there's more. There's more to me. And that you believe, your faith makes you believe the story that Jesus said about the rich man and Lazarus, who are real human beings who died, and we all saw their destinations and what was happening afterwards. Faith must make you believe that thing. Amen. And the Bible says we are spirit, and God is our Father. And God is the Father of all spirit. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. God is our Father. And God is the Father of all spirit. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. If you can help me. He says that, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. Hey. And we gave them reverence. Fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. So our fathers, the flesh will correct you. Is that not so? Then he said, shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits? Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of what? Spirits. And live? So you see, God is Father of spirits, not Father of flesh. And he's your Father as long as you are a spirit. And everybody's a spirit. Amen. And that's why ever since man fell, God has been doing everything to bring man unto himself. Because he's the Father of spirit. You don't see who you are, but he sees you. And he wants you to come back to him. Hallelujah. So he's the Father of spirit. And our spirit lives in a body. We are spirit. See how she's dressed? She's worn trouser. With lace, she's worn her wig again today too. And she's sitting here. Do you get it? Feeling cute. But that's not her. That's not her. When you look at her, God is looking at the spirit. Yes. When you look at her, God is looking at the spirit. Amen. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5:1. My time is almost up, but we'll continue next week. 2 Corinthians 5:1. It says, for we know, now we are establishing that your flesh is your house, isn't it? For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, were dissolved. We have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Hallelujah. For if our earthly house of this tabernacle, what is the earthly house of this tabernacle? My earthly house of this tabernacle is what you see me here, wearing blue. Or is it blue? So is it something that looks like blue? Yes. Standing here with shoe. That's my earthly house of this. This tabernacle. Do you get it? And he said, if it were dissolved, and it will be dissolved. It will be dissolved one day. It will be dissolved. When you go in the ground, what happens? When you go in the ground, you dissolve. You just become earth. You just mix with the gogomi and everything. But you become what is left with your skeleton. And then the skeleton with time. Yes, everything depending. But the house is gone. Who know that you are you? The house is gone. Amen. We have a house not made with hands. Do you get it? So, and then Jesus even sums everything up in the story of Lazarus and Luke, rich man and Lazarus, isn't it? Jesus sums all up in Luke 16, 22. Jesus sums it all up in Luke 16, 22. He said, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The beggar died, hallelujah, and was carried into Abraham's bosom, isn't it? And then a rich man also died. And he was also carried somewhere. And then you read in the 23 and 24. It says, and in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried. What made him cry? The soul. What made me cry? The soul. That contains our emotions. So it seems after death, our emotions will be with us. And our emotions, what those of us who will go to heaven by the grace of God, our emotions, what will make us worship God all day long. And then there's no day, there's no night. So eternity to eternity. Eternity to eternity. All night long, all day long. It's all eternity. That's all. Everlasting to everlasting. The soul is what will accompany us to do that. Amen. So he lifted up his voice and cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus come and cool my tongue. You see, he was now feeling thirsty. So when you die, you feel thirsty. When you die, something will make you feel thirsty. Something. Because don't forget, you don't only live in a body, you have a soul. And as long as the soul is going with the spirit, it will make you feel thirsty. Yeah. You feel a feeling of thirst, feeling of that. Amen. The only thing that we can't get is the feeling of all immorality and things, because that one, it comes from the body, the flesh. The corruption of the flesh. That's how those things come. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So you are more than a body, is that not so? You are more than a body. So you keep spending time. You know, sometimes you spend more time on your body than your spirit. And you know our colleagues, the other side. So we are all men, so we are all man. But we have now remembered that we have who is a man. Hallelujah. So don't spend all your time developing things, but spend your time. That's what I said. Real faith, big faith, great faith will make you spend time on spiritual things. Because you know that this faith is as far as you receive the salvation of your soul. And it's this faith that of the salvation of the soul that will even not make you want to sin, even though your body will feel to sin. And as you are sitting at home, your body feels to sin. Your body feels to do things. Your body feels to gossip. Your body feels to do this. That's why every day you are saying you are sorry, because you didn't want to do the thing, but you did it. Whatever you are saying sorry for, your body feels to do it. Your body feels to do it. Amen. But the spirit, if you train the spirit, then the spirit will also overcome. Hallelujah. So develop the human spirit. Have faith in the human spirit and develop the human spirit. Hallelujah. So God willing, you know, my time is almost up. God willing, we are going to see how to develop the human spirit. And that comes by faith. That comes by faith. How to develop the human spirit comes by faith. And faith in God. Faith in the Father. You have a spirit. You have a spirit. Many of us don't walk with that mind that we have a spirit. That's why we wake up in the morning. We don't think about the spirit. We think about how we get a job done, how we get this, how we get that. But we don't think about the spirit. It's a certain kind of faith. That's why we can, for the sake of a bowl of fufu, you can forget about the spirit for the flesh. Because you don't have faith. You don't have faith in the spirit. Amen. So let me just end with this scripture. And then next week we'll talk about how to develop the spirit. And also you get to know that what to do with your flesh. What to do with your flesh and all those things. We get to know. I think that one of your major problems, especially you. Hebrews 4:12. One of the major problems, especially you. Amen. Hebrews 4:12. It says that, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Listen, piercing even to the dividing. Dividing. Jude, you are a scientist. When you say you are a science, whatever. When you say you are a science person, want to do a lot. Hey, this guy, you are wild. When you say something is dividing, what does it mean? Dividing. Separating. Separating. Do you get it? Separating. Dividing. Separating. So, Bible is saying that something can be separated. He said, piercing even to the dividing, separating asunder of soul and spirit. So, soul and spirit can be separated. So, that means there are two distinct things, isn't it? Anything that can be separated and live on, it means there are two distinct things. And then, and the joint and the marrow, and it's the joint and the marrow is the flesh. And the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So all these things, you start to do, there are differences. Your body is different. Your spirit is different. Your soul, there are three distinct things. Distinct. Hallelujah. And each has a way of affecting you. But of all the three, your spirit is very important. Because your spirit never dies. And your soul accompanies your spirit wherever you are. Do you get it? But your spirit is the one that will lead. And your spirit never dies. Amen. Your spirit is like an atom, the smallest indestructible part of a particle or something. Charlie, let me just end here. Amen. So that's your soul. It never dies. Today, I came to tell you that faith, we need the just shall live by faith. And that includes, whilst we are alive, faith in the Father, you are a spirit. Faith in the Father, you are a spirit. So spend time. By the time we finish this principle, you understand it well. You will spend time on your spirit, to develop your spirit, and not spending time to develop your flesh. Ladies spend so much time in front of the mirror developing their face to look nice. But you rather spend time. It's not that it's not good, it's good. We all live here on earth, but one thing is important. Amen. So God bless you for this wonderful Conquest service. I pray and I hope you have been blessed wherever you are. And I believe that God has also visited you wherever you are. God has come to your home. That is why I believe that everything that is not supposed to be at home with you, every spirit, everything spoken against you, anything fighting your home, fighting your marriage, fighting your children, making your home not a peaceful place, as the presence of God has come, those things are giving way in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The presence of God is going to make your home to prosper and your home to succeed. In Jesus' name. If you listen to me in your office, the presence of God has come to your office. And anything fighting in your office will stop in Jesus' name. Now let us pray. You listen to me whilst I preached. But you are not sure whether your soul is saved or not. Whether your spirit is saved or not. You are not sure where you spend eternity when you die. And the Bible makes us to know that if you believe in Christ Jesus, you'll be saved. So I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. Believe in Christ Jesus. To have salvation of your soul. I want you to, if you want to give your life to Christ, I want you to believe with me and say this with me. Say, repeat with me and say this with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus,
Dear Lord Jesus,
I thank you for today.
I thank you for today.
I thank you that I listened to this word today.
I thank you that I listened to
and
this
right
word
now,
today. And right now,
I am asking for forgiveness.
For forgiveness.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
Because today, I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart
that Jesus Christ.
That Jesus Christ
came to die for me.
Came to die for
I
me.
Confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth
that Jesus.
That Jesus
is Lord.
Is Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me of my sins,
for forgiving me of my sins,
and accepting me,
and accepting
just
me
as I am.
Just as I
from
am.
From today, I am yours.
I am yours,
and you are mine.
And you are mine.
In the name of Jesus, come on, clap for your.
God bless you for listening to Active Word with Bishop Ishmael Sam. For copies of today's message or any other message by Bishop Sam, please contact us on 0244-534-816. You can also send Bishop Sam an email at pastorishmael@yahoo.com. For prayer and counseling, you can contact us on 0246-939-984. To support this program, send your donations via mobile money to 055-874-2922 or 050-940-0044. You can join us in worship via YouTube and Facebook Live this and the coming Sundays at Bishop Ishmael Sam -DHMM from 9:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the period that social gatherings, including church gatherings, are not rightfully allowed. Stay tuned and God bless you. My sin was great.